The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Praise you, Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose lands produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What should I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. Then I shall store all my grains and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus it will be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
The first reading today is from the book of Ecclesiastes, sometimes called the book of Koheleth. It is a very odd book with a dark side to it because of Koheleth's observations about life. At one time it was thought Koheleth was a pen name for King Solomon, but that's always been speculation. Koheleth describes himself as an old man who has seen it all, done it all, experienced it all. And he comes out with this word of wisdom: "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." The Hebrew word there is air or bubble. It just means everything is insubstantial. Koheleth has had wealth, he's had power, he's had pleasure, he's had material goods, he's had knowledge. And yet he concludes, there's nothing new under the sun. The sun comes up and goes down every day. All is vanity. The passage for today includes the curmudgeonly observation that all the work a man puts into gaining wealth is all for naught, because it's all going to someone else anyway once we pass from this world. Things come, things go. What's life all about at the end of the day? Not much. That's the despairing point of view of Koheleth. And everything, plants, mountains, the sun, the planets, ourselves, none of it lasts forever. All of it is eventually swallowed up. When I was young, Koheleth was not in the least interesting to me. But as I passed middle age, he resonates more with me. I suppose it was because at a younger age, I was full of the future with a more sleek body at the height of its strength. Perhaps then I was seduced into thinking that this world is it. But Koheleth knows better. Here's something important that Koheleth says: who you are is always more important than what you have. Why? Because who you are will last forever. What you have will fade away. Who you are is a matter of your moral and spiritual character. It's a matter of, if you want, the soul. It's a matter of how you stand before God. The soul lasts forever, and that's who you are. But what you have, honors, wealth, connections, titles, degrees, all of that will fade away. Another way to put this, who you are, you will take into the next life with you. What you have will be left behind. Qoheleth is telling us this deep and abiding truth, that possessions are ultimately vanity. They're a chase after the wind. The gospel parable that Jesus tells makes much the same point. Jesus effectively mocks the man who relied on his possessions to give him security and joy. He tells the story of a very wealthy man whose wealth has just increased due to a bumper crop. But instead of seeing it as a gift and thus using some of it for the good of others, he just builds bigger storage facilities to keep more of what he values most. It seems to me that our current society is much like this wealthy man. What will make me happy and secure? Almost by instinct, many people answer with some version of possessions. The reason I'm insecure is I don't have enough money. The reason I'm insecure or unhappy is that I don't have enough honors, titles, connections, political clout. Whatever it happens to be, we become convinced that the more of it we have, the happier we will be. But it just is not true. And Jesus says to that attitude, "You fool, for this night your life will be demanded of you." Mind you, your life. What's he talking about? Not what you have, but who you are. This night, your heart, your soul, your life, who you are, will be required of you. And then comes the climax of the message. Thus it will be for all who think your possessions will give you security and happiness, but remain poor in what matters to God. What matters to God is the quality of your heart, the quality of your soul, is your character. And what is our character? Our character is that heart which has been developing through a whole series of moral choices, either for or against love. At every moment of the day, practically, we are faced with choices, to love or to fall into self-absorption. John Paul II, in his moral writings, made the observation that every moral act does two things. First, it produces some effect in the world, but at the same time, it helps to create the one who performs the act. It makes you the kind of person you are becoming. When you do something, you choose whether it is to love or to fall back into yourself. And it's making you into who you are. Now, sometimes we hear people say something like, "Well, sometimes I cheat or I steal, but I'm still a good person." Well, all that is trying to justify a set of behaviors that is wrong. We choose to become good or bad by a lifetime of actions. With that in mind, let's look at Paul's reading for today. Paul says, "Put to death then the parts of you that are earthly." And what does he mean by that? He means the parts of you that are obsessed with the goods of this world, the parts of you that are obsessed with possessions, and which are therefore resistant to love. And he gets very specific. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, the greed that is idolatry. See, to be immoral, immorality, is to resist the path of love. To be impure, what does it mean? But to turn one's sexual energies in on oneself. To have evil desire is to want to harm another rather than to love them. To be idolatrous is to honor as highest something other than God. Whenever I say I need more and more wealth, power, honor, and pleasure, I am committing what the Bible calls idolatry. I'm finding my ultimate joy in something less than God. And then Paul says, having taken off that old self, that earthly self, the self that Koheleth got so much wisdom about toward the end of his life, Paul says, put on a new one now, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. That's the heart of it. What God wants is to share his life with us so that we might become like him and reflect the wonder of his being to the world. The old self, the earthly self, is the one that is obsessed with possessions, what I've got. The new self, well, that's Christ living in you, is the self traveling in the direction of love. And Paul says, when you've got that self, then you are renewed in the image of your Creator. All the readings this weekend point to this question: who are you? It matters infinitely more than what you have. Even though the world is telling us in a thousand ways that what we have is the key question, it is not. Read Koheleth on that again if you have any doubt. What matters is who you are. You are called to be someone conformed to the image of God.